Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Episode 199 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. We've talked about it. I thought I had a chance against Spencer. He just went out and won a national title, his third, by the way, on knees that are maybe operating at, I don't know, 20%. Maybe the most absurd thing in sports history. We're going to talk about it and a whole lot more. Stay till the end on this one. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is episode 199 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. And I didn't really know. I had a few avenues of how I was going to open this one until the NCAA finals happened and we got to see who I am now naming one of the world's toughest individuals wrestle with no ACLs. And so I don't feel like there's any other way that we could possibly open up an Iowa podcast other than talking about Spencer first. So Kluver, I'll let you use that as a segue.
So I really thought that I had a chance against Spencer. And we had the conversation on it. And then we talked to Tristan. And Tristan immediately was like, no, you're not getting up. And of course, Twitter, you know, everybody on social media is going to be like, no, you can't. There's no way you're getting out of Spencer. I think that people underestimate a size difference. If someone's skilled enough, athletic enough at a certain size to get out of a guy that's just that far away at a weight class. But he, and by the way, I want to credit you two. There's a lot to talk about here, but I want to credit you two. First, maybe in the nation calling out Spencer being injured.
And I said I didn't want to snitch on him, dude. And I mean, probably everybody saw it because I was watching a national television broadcast just like everybody else was.
I didn't see anybody tweeting about it, though, or anything.
Really? Then they were not watching Spencer because I watch the coach and wrestler interactions every time because I think that in wrestling in particular
– it's the best.
Maybe even more than mixed martial arts, the coach and athlete interaction is fascinating because wrestlers have a certain mindset where they are so coachable that no matter what mode they're in, like they could be in absolute kill attack mode and their coach could say one word and it's like a German Shepherd. They just boom, they heal. Eyes to fucking eyes. Like, do you see him and DeSanto's interactions? It is absolutely incredible to watch Terry and Austin DeSanto and what, like, the mind control that he has and the mode that he can put him in. But back to Spencer, I was just watching the interaction between them and clear as day, he said, my knee completely blew out. Clear as day. So, I mean, I was kind of snitching, but I mean, the camera was a total dry snitch.
Kevin's our resident doctor on the podcast and he joins us on this episode 199. Incredible that we've gotten here, actually. The fact that we're almost 200 episodes in. Excited to bring you 200. Hopefully, we haven't recorded 200, and it's we probably have made it sound like a whole lot, like we've had this thing backed up and just ready to go. We haven't even recorded it yet. We hope it's good. It could suck. Who knows? But Kevin joins us on 199 here, and Kev, you've had knee injuries, knee problems. We're pretty sure that you don't have PCL anymore. And
the PCL is gone, correct?
Yeah. And you, in fact, just are you're in the car coming from a surgery. When you don't have all your ligaments, that's a problem. What? One of you, please explain. Yeah, yeah. What's up?
Yeah, you know, in my professional opinion, lacking ligaments in one of your major joints is a competitive disadvantage, yes.
And in my non-professional opinion, but just knowing what the anterior cruciate ligament does, when your tibia can translate forward and change the direction that your force is being applied to the ground and completely, I would say, not eliminate it, but severely decrease it. Because if you're trying to put force in a certain direction and your tibia translates and the angle changes and you can no longer put force in that direction, that is a huge competitive disadvantage. He had no knees and he went out with no knee braces. So fucking gangster, by the way. Like, the kid's been wrestling with the knee brace all year, knowing that he didn't have an ACL. It was just to protect the rest of the ligaments. I don't know. I didn't get to see many of his matches throughout the week. I didn't pay attention if he had a knee brace on. The kid comes out no knee braces for the finals like a gangster.
So for those that are...
Yeah, I mean, and the ACL is like, if you're trying to like cut laterally, that's like the big stabilizing ligament in your knee. So it's like that had to affect like how quick he was moving side to side. And yeah, it's just absolutely mind boggling. And I saw it like you, Drake, too. It's in at the maybe a minute left in his Big Ten championship match. Something happened to his knee and he wins it and he hobbles off and he goes straight to the coach and he's like, he said something about his knee being fucked up.
Yep. Kevin saw the exact injury that I saw too, because that's about how I would have called it.
And so I don't know. I mean, for those Hawkeye football fans listening, ACL wise, we're talking Drew Ott. We're talking Brandon Snyder at one point, multiple other guys that we're talking Doozy. A lot of guys. No, Doozy was patellar tendon. Regardless, the tendons and ligaments in your knees, specifically in sports, you know, you only have two legs. Your arms are, you know, you can deal with injuries on your arms or your shoulders. It's not supporting your body weight. At your knees are extremely important. Kevin, in fact, if you take his knee, whatever one that's injured, and you pull on it like forward and back, it actually wiggles in the joint. And that's without the PCL.
It's kind of wild. It freaks people out all the time. They used to have the training students come in during fall camp. It's like, okay, yank on his legs. Tell me which one's missing a patellar or a PCL. And they'd be like, no, go on my right one. Like, maybe. Then go on my left one. They're like, holy shit. But, no, apparently you can just kind of rehab through a PCL. ACL, no, I've never heard of winning a national tournament without an ACL.
I think it's truly what we just witnessed is potentially, I mean, you hear stories about like the 70s, guys playing games with broken legs. This is the kind of story we're looking at. Not only this, he finished with like, I mean, he gave up like 7 points in the entire tournament. He dominated. He fucked around in the championship a little bit. Now looking back, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. What I understand, fortunately I haven't had an ACL tear myself, is the forward and back, moving forward and back without an ACL gets a whole lot less stable. Okay. And then the side to side is really what gets screwed up. And so you basically can't plant and go push left or push right. When you're talking about a wrestling match, right, you score points by mainly take, like, not mainly, I'm going to sound like an idiot here breaking down wrestling, but a lot of points are scored with takedowns, right? To take a guy down, you have to be able to duck under, shoot on a guy, and then work sideways to get around him or to somehow get him flipped so that you can gain control. And
that's called cutting angles, Kluver, but that's a pretty good analysis. You got to cut angles.
And cutting angles is impossible without an ACL. Spencer did it without either one. I don't understand. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
Spencer has no idea how big of a fanboy I am of his.
Everybody.
Everybody, but they don't get to hop on the same bus. We get our own bus because we were fanboys before everybody in the country was a fanboy.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, go, Kev.
I was about to say, like, I just feel privileged to be able to watch him compete for the last 3 years, and I don't know what his plans is, doing the Olympics or not, or if he's planning on coming back. I assume he is. But it's just been awesome time to be an Iowa Hawkeye wrestling fan. And he had like the biggest expectations of any recruit I think we've ever had. And yep, he has fulfilled them and then some.
It may take years and years for people to really truly register what he just did. I think even now people are saying he's potentially, you know, he's on his path to being one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in the sport, right? And he's wrestling for the Iowa Hawkeyes, doing what he just did with no ACLs. There's nothing to even compare that to. It's absolutely absurd. And he ends up being our only individual national champion. I want to, you know, Spencer, obviously the main story, got kind of cool that he ends the tournament. Incredible. I think we might have to make a shirt, Wash Up Walk-On's branded shirt, that says excuses are for wusses or something along those lines. Something that he said. He ends up being our only national champion out of 4 number one seeds. A little bit disappointing. Maybe.
What is with Penn State's ability to just win individual titles? They didn't win the team title, which is cool. Like, we got it. You know, we're the overall national champs. But Penn State wrestlers know how to close the finals just year after year after year.
Well, they got a guy that's coaching them that did it 4 times. So, I mean, he's got something to say about that. But yeah, I mean, Penn State owned the championship round 100%. It's crazy that we still had enough points to win the team title with as many individual champs as they had. Would they have 3 or 4? Insane. Bravo Young is insane. The Lee kid that Ironman was going up against, was that who he was up against, right? Yeah, that kid works his ass off. And Starachi is, you know, he got Kemmerer on. I mean, Chemdog was fighting his ass off. I mean, there's some battles going on, man. Like, they got some dudes, and we got some dudes. And that was, you know, they got the best of the championship round. But
Starachi was in better shape than Chemdog was.
Yeah, he was. He was. And
I would say the same about Lee versus Ironman. Like, Ironman was just gassed. Like, I don't know if he just got hurt or something, but like the second half of the third period, he just like had nothing left.
And I thought, what's so crazy is they're at such an elite level. Most guys go up against an Iowa Hawkeye, and maybe, I don't know, they have to train. There's no way they don't train to that length. They're prepared for a full wrestling match, right? But a lot of the Iowa guys, you know, you get to that level, and it's no excuse, but like Spencer, I think there was some crazy stat where Spencer wrestled for like 15 minutes all year or something like that. Like, they're hardly on the mat. And sometimes, you know, the other guys are winning fairly quickly too. Ironman has put on a couple shows that weren't full length matches. And so maybe they're just, I don't know, Penn State made it, maybe just a good day, but really the first time I've ever watched the full NCAA championship wrestling tournament or gotten most of it. And I'm becoming more and more of a wrestling fan and less of a Tyler Kluver fan in the Tyler Kluver versus Spencer Lee matchup of just trying to get out of just trying to get an escape on him.
Did Spencer agree that he will come on the podcast sometime?
Yeah. A while back, like a year ago, someone said we have to get Spencer Lee on. And I responded with like, yeah, once he's done, 100% will come on. And he was like, I'm in, boys, let's do it.
I cannot wait to have this conversation with him.
Unbelievable, right? Talking to them, I want to get Chem Dog on, Ironman on. I want to get all of them on. Marinelli and Ironman both announced on Twitter today that they're coming back.
That's so live. They got to, bro. They got to get their championship.
Spencer announced like 2 weeks ago in a post-match press conference that he's coming back. So they've obviously all gotten together.
What's the deal? Like, Spencer's going to have surgery, right?
That's the thing. It's 2 weeks till Olympic trials. And so he either – I mean, imagine this. He says, fuck it. I'm going through the Olympic trials with no ACLs.
He just doesn't wrestle. He just only conditions.
The problem is now that people know, like, not that, like, people would try and cheap shot or – something, but like in wrestling, people could take advantage of that really bad, right? I don't know what his chances would be if he just tried to just wrestle the Olympic trials and make the Olympics. At some point, it would be smart for him to get those fixed. I mean, Jesus Christ, two ACLs?
Dude, that's a mutant human being.
I mean,
that's,
I'm sitting here and it's...
I told you, like, remember when we talked about it, when I talked about the documentary they did on him, and I was like, dude, I've come to realize it's all about what's in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He just showed it. Clearly, his body was not the best body out there. He had zero ACLs in the match. There was only two ACLs in that finals match, and they both belonged to his opponent, dude. Obviously, he did not have the best body in the match, but his mind is impenetrable.
I thought what was great was that kid was he was stalling like a bitch. And in the third period, he had decision of how they wanted to start. And right at the end of the second period, Spencer was trying to pin his ass. And obviously, a lot of what Spencer does is he just controls people. He's like Khabib. And the kid chose neutral to start the third period because he didn't want any part. Usually you take that down because you'll take that point of getting out. The kid chose to just not score so that he didn't get pinned.
So, like, they know that they can't get out of Spencer's wrist lock because he just wrist locks them and then tilts them, puts them right on their fucking head.
Mm-hmm.
These kids know that they aren't strong enough to get out of it. It's unbelievable.
They would rather choose to hopefully not get pinned rather than get 1 point. I mean, that's the kind of positions that he's putting kids in a championship match with no ACLs. I'm confused. And we'll move on, but it deserves a lot of talk for what he just did. And the fact that all the boys are coming back, or not all, but it sounds like a lot of them have made a decision like, hey, we're going.
Boys are coming back. Listen, the band is staying together.
Yeah. And
general managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
They're going for the repeat, and assuming everything works out, Spencer gets new ACLs or better ACLs, or his ACLs come back to life. I mean, at this point, it's proven that he doesn't need them. So even if his ACLs decide to just pack it up and leave forever, it sounds like we might be on the path for a repeat, a little 21-22 national champions. We really were the unofficial national champions of 20 as well. So
just like Muscatine High School swimming in 2011, 2012, and 2013.
Sure.
Repeat, baby.
Sure. You know? Sure. Hawks take the big, you know, Hawks take the title, and it was great to see. And also Gable Steveson is...
Did you hear that? So first of all, not an AJ Ferrari fan at all.
You don't like him? Listen, bro, he's strong as hell though.
He's stronger than me.
I searched him on Instagram.
Out of me. His dad would beat the piss out of me.
Yep.
I'd get embarrassed. There, I said it. I don't like the kid.
Yeah.
But he said he was moving up to heavyweight. And if we could get a Ferrari Stevenson matchup, and those guys don't really like each other that much, that could be tremendous.
I don't think anybody likes that Ferrari kid, is what it sounded like.
Look at the way he carries himself, man.
Hey, dude, he's straight Italian, though. That's just who he is. Yeah,
I know. He belongs on the Jersey Shore, bro. I understand, bro.
He works in the meatball. He's making the pizza.
Like, have you seen his dad? Obviously, he got a lot of
cameras. Dude, they're...
That is Ronnie from Jersey Shore.
There's nobody more Italian.
Period.
After the match, he went and gym tan laundry. That's what he did.
Yes. And his kid just stayed in tetanus flex for the whole time.
Dude, if he throws on like 30, 40, 50 pounds and goes heavyweight,
He said he has to cut 23 to make 197.
Oh, so he walks around at 220. So he said
he's got up to 2.25.
He's beefy.
The guy eats a cheeseburger or two.
Oh, he's eating pasta. My guy's eating chicken fettuccine. Hey, remember when we talked about the kids with the stuff at the table? Eat your fucking fettuccine. That guy, Ferrari's eating his fettuccine. He ain't worried about his iPad.
The kid never missed a deadlift session or a meal.
Bro. He's strong as shit. And he's a freshman too. So if he throws on 50 pounds, right? First of all, his deadlift, he's going to be throwing up insane weight in the weight room. I think there's got to be some juice in that blood.
Bro, his dad, you can tell, is juice to the gills. How do I say this in a proper manner? A shot into his mom was pure HGH.
Yeah.
Those sperm cells had fucking muscles.
Yeah, that kid was born from Clan and Diana Ball. That's the kind of baby that, and he's really not like super jacked though. Like, you know, a lot of those kids are lean, jacked to the gills. He's really just like run of the mill the way he looks. But I went to his Instagram and he deadlifts and squats 600, 700 pounds. Kid's strong. And if he throws on 25, 30, 40 pounds and tries to wrestle Gable Steveson, first of all, huge fan of that kid. One, because he's named after the legend, but also he's an absolute savage. And those two go at it next year or in the next couple years. Sign me up. Take my money because I want to watch it. So wrestling was cool. Speaking of wrestling, had the opportunity to either opt in or opt out of a jiu-jitsu session with Drake over the past week. As you guys know, this is actually been
that's how I was gonna open this podcast before Spencer did what he did and the Hawks did what they did. I was gonna mention to the whole Washed Up Walk-On's audience and anybody who is into Tyler Kluver Fitness and his facade, he is a phony.
Facade.
He's not a tough guy. He's not into cross training. He's not who he says he is. That's all I have to say.
I'm a phony, and I'll say this. I'm not a tough guy, and you know I've never claimed to be a tough guy. But phony, facade, maybe. Maybe. Jiu-jitsu guy? Maybe not. Inspired a little bit after the weekend, though, of watching, so maybe I should have taking you up on it, but I was trying to chill, vacation. I was already doing a bunch of hiking with the friends we went out there with, which was a great time. Arizona treated us great. It was sunny. It was not the warmest, but it was warm. It was warmer than Iowa. Drake hosted. He even made burgers for me one night. It was a great time. And you said you were down bad after me, your mom, and Ike all left.
Yeah, dude, listen. So I don't like people coming to my house because I know they have to leave. So when friend time is over, depression time hits.
Yeah.
And you and Ike and mom left, and I sat on the couch, and I had already watched all the YouTube videos I wanted to watch, and there was nothing on TV yet. And I'm like, wow.
I'm down bad.
I hear that, man. I had one of my buddies in town this weekend, and when they leave, it's just like, oh, I'm sad again.
Because, like, yeah. The thing is, I haven't seen Kluver since his wedding.
So yeah.
The last time I saw Kluver, I was still an Iowa resident.
Yep.
The last time I saw Ike was probably before that, actually. So, like, 2 years, you get to see your buddies for not enough time in a 7-day period, because everybody's got things to do. They're on vacation.
Yeah.
And then it's gone. And you're like, fuck, am I not going to see my friends again for 2 years? Like, this is not a good situation. I feel horrible right now.
It's a good point. Who was in town, Kev? Was it?
It was Josh and his girlfriend.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, this is probably a big time for the Kevin Ward, the Kevin Ward friend group from Illinois, because I don't know if there's a better time of year to bet on sports than March Madness.
You know, I'm always going to be leaning towards football. I entered a couple of bracket pools, but I haven't really put any bets on college basketball, the game straight up this year.
Is Yonker, he get into the basketball betting?
Oh, if there's a ping pong game on Thursday night, Yonker's betting on it.
Dude, and the gross part is, sometimes he'll send Snapchats, and there was a game, I forget who it was, man. It was a football game, and it was the national championship, and it was like Ohio State +9, and he sent me a handful, Johnny Manziel handful, and he said, I like Ohio State this much, and they got thrown out of the stadium.
That's tough. Yonker, Kev, may be my favorite human. He really might be.
He is an all-time human being. That's 100% sure.
I'm glad that you're my friend and he's your friend, and you were able to introduce me to a character like him, because he's pure joy. Every time I've been around him, he's pure joy.
You should spend some time with him at the casino. When he's winning at the casino, like, everyone is winning. He's tipping the dealers. He's like yelling at random people, like, yeah, walking by. He's like, you got to get in on this. We're throwing heartaches all day long.
My guy. Spent a little time at the casino, actually. The Talking Stick Resort out in Arizona. Made a quick trip there with some of the friends that we were with. I didn't participate, but I watched them throw some cash around, and they came out up. So a little blackjack did them well. But they were bad. The one night was bad that they went out there, Drake. And then, like you said, and then they actually came up a little bit by the end.
That's good, because I actually warn anybody who would like to vacation in Arizona, I don't recommend playing the table games at Talking Stick, because I'm not a negative EV gambler, but I'm a negative EV watcher. And I've watched so many people get absolutely smoked at that place because the dealers are unbeatable.
Smoked. I watched a couple guys they were sitting with just get absolutely torched. I mean, it's incredible. All right, over to basketball. So wrestling, awesome. National championship, Iowa on top, where it's supposed to be. Savages across the board. And I can't wait to have them on the podcast. Again, we're going to let them finish their careers as Hawkeyes, because we don't want to really incriminate anybody. And we tend to slide that way in some of our interactions with our guest episodes. So there will be a time that they come on. It's just not soon. And that's good because that means more winning for the Hawks in the future. Iowa basketball, funny enough, Iowa basketball gets paired up with Grand Canyon, who we were, you know, Drake lives like 4 hours away from. We actually planned on going to the Grand Canyon when I was there last week. However, it snowed and we decided some roads were like closed halfway and it was cold and we're like, screw it. We're not going to go. We'll figure out another time to make it to the canyon. Iowa gets paired up with Grand Canyon, a two seed, which it's not great to be a two seed if you're Ohio State. Tough one. We'll talk about that in a second.
I was with Ike, and one of Ike's brother-in-laws had Ohio State as his champion. And we were he was sweating it so hard, and we were cheering obnoxiously against them.
Yeah.
Because obviously Ohio State can eat my balls.
Wow. Yeah, so tough one for them. Iowa, however, takes care of business in the first round. As we record this on Sunday evening, Iowa played about 24 hours ago and handled the game for most. I mean, first of all, Garza coming out and just drilling threes, inject that right into my veins. Beautiful. Pretty sure he passed somebody else on the all-time Big Ten scoring list. He's in like sixth or seventh now in all-time Big Ten history. Legend. J-Bo hit a couple.
Which is really impressive that seven more people were able to score more than Luka, because he's been lights out for a lot of years.
Yeah. Even more impressive is a lot of them did it when there wasn't a three-point shot. So it was all 2 points. So that just goes to that show.
The competition sucked.
Yeah, they were playing against the YMCAC team. I'll get shredded for that by some guys who, like, I'm sure John Miller or Morehouse will come at me for that one, like, with some stats that prove they weren't playing against bad competition or something. But J-Bo hit a few threes. He's like 10 away from Big Ten first place three-pointer. So he had, like, if he lights it up and we get to play another 2-3 games, I think he's going to be.
Hey, I'll tell you what. And in this last game, I did not like when Fran subbed him out, because the first time he subbed him out, it was not that far into the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And he had hit a three or maybe two threes. Mm-hmm. And then he had hit one that didn't count because there was like a foul. They passed it to him and he smoked it. So this kid's seen three balls not hit anything but the bottom of the net. And then Fran subs him out right away. I was like, no. The kid's hot. He's on fire. What the fuck is going on, Fran? So next time you see a kid that's absolutely torching it, let's let him keep shooting.
Yeah. Luka was torching it. Grand Canyon actually presented a decent challenge in the post with 2 7-footers. Luka handled them, and tough. Exactly what we have to do is have Luka come out and start banging threes. Like, those guys can't guard Luka out on the 3-point line. After the first two, and they took a timeout, I think it was when they were up 11-2. They got the slow-mo on Luka, and he looked back and he was just like, that's too easy. I was giggling. I was like, oh my God, I love this. We basically controlled the game the entire time. And it was a good start. I love how the trolls come out on Twitter. Somebody tweeted like the end game result, Iowa beats Grand Canyon, whatever. Everybody immediately starts tweeting, if they play defense like this against Oregon, we're going to get our ass beat. Okay, guys, chill out. All right, let's enjoy a first round win and worry. First of all, let's just let them worry about Oregon, because you bitching on Twitter ain't going to do anything. Okay. J-Bo didn't see your tweet and think, oh, Johnny from Pottawatomie County decided that we should play better defense. Hey guys, let's turn it up next game. Cause John and Jill, they want us to play better defense. They think that'll help us beat Oregon. The conviction that people have on Twitter with their statements and their opinions baffles me. And that's why I never try to get into an argument or even a conversation or even make a comment that I don't know anything about. Of course,
totally smart. And
yeah.
Also, just not having a Twitter, also smart. It's awesome.
Yeah, and Kevin, you've been off Twitter for a while now as well, right? He's probably eating.
Yeah, I've been, I am eating. I've been off Twitter for solid 3-4 weeks now. I haven't really missed it that much, but I did realize I get 95% of my sports news from Twitter.
Yeah, true. So you guys are probably a whole lot like more mentally healthy than anybody else that's on Twitter. Well, that's not true. I wouldn't say that about Drake. He's got plenty else going on in his brain. But yeah, Iowa takes care. Oregon gets the advance because VCU, I mean, how shitty for VCU. They get a couple COVID positive, which I don't understand. They were all cleared and had to be negative to get into the bubble. And then somehow, like, was VCU out at the strip club in Indy or what was going on? Like, were those guys sneaking out? They were bringing chicks in. I don't know what was happening. Allegedly, somehow they got COVID and the Ducks get a bye essentially to the second round to play the Hawks. I think this favors Iowa a little bit. Keep them rusty.
And keep the nerves in there, right? They didn't get their first game nerves out of the way. They haven't played a game in the tournament yet. So, like, you got to have nerves. And they got all up for that game, and then it got canceled, and then that was like a crash. Mm-hmm. Now they got to try and re-up and get through those nerves. It's definitely – they could start slow. We could have definitely a little bit of a lead at the start.
100%. The word is that Oregon's going to try and pressure, full court press. That's kind of their thing. J-Bo came out and said that they will welcome that because Iowa kind of likes to run and gun. Like, they want to get up and down, and they're willing to do that. So could be a fast-paced game, and I'd love to see that. Of course, I think probably everybody listening to this bracket has Iowa advancing into the Sweet 16. Kansas, who they could potentially meet in the Sweet 16, caught a real scare from two brothers from East Washington University. That game was incredible to watch. Don't know if either of you got to catch that one. I was cheering so hard for the East Washington. Insane. Two brothers went for like 60 points, and they both look like mountain men. And I don't know. I think Iowa should be able to handle Oregon, but obviously we've seen some other teams not do so well. First time in tournament history that four teams that were seeded 13 or worse advanced. Ohio beat Virginia. Virginia just loves getting upset, by the way, even though they're our last national champions. So they did get a little bit of glory in there. So Ohio beat them. Ohio State obviously lost to, I already forgot who they lost to. Who'd they play?
Oral Roberts.
Oh, yeah, Oral Roberts.
The old blowjob U.
Sure. And then who else won? Abilene Christian last night took out Texas, which was pretty great. And then somebody else in there won as well. And a few, 12, I know at least one 12 seed won, cause I know I had Oregon State, the Beavers, 12 over a five. As far as a bracket goes, I'm in a 100 person pool that has a bunch of people from Marshalltown, that kind of area, big friend group, plus a bunch of basically anybody that we know. And I'm in fourth place in the brackets right now. So brackets looking decent. And I'm excited. Iowa, I'm still scared because I want them to do so well, and I know they can do so well. But you look at a team like Illinois, who is clearly a better team than Iowa. They proved it over the course of this year, over two games. Got the number two seed overall, and they go out and get beat by Loyola, who, first of all, would not ever want to play Loyola in the history of basketball. They play so good.
And dude, how incredible is it that the number one seeded university school gets beat by a little group of fucking Catholics?
Dude, they aren't
from the same state.
You're right.
Down the road, little Catholic school. Doing their thing. Sister Jean, what's up? Got God on their side. Bang, bang. Can't stop them.
Yeah, she said in her pregame prayer that their defense should be able to handle Illinois. And then they did. God just said, you know what? She's right. Illinois is getting the loss today. They're taking the L. Incredible. I know that a lot of you probably don't come to this podcast for basketball insight. And none of us were good basketball players obviously into college or anything, but I know a decent amount about basketball, and I have not seen such a balanced team play. Loyola is one of the best. I'm convinced they might be one of the best teams in the country. Again, they have to shoot well, like any team, to be up there and compete. The way that they play the game, how they work the clock, they're patient, they're balanced. They have athletes, which sounds like a diss because, like, oh, Loyola wouldn't have athletes all the time. They've got athletes. They've got this big dude that looks like Farva from Super Troopers. Get me a liter of cola.
I love the mustache on that dude.
Dude, and he can play. They were feeding him against Coburn, and he was not scared. And they played.
Listen,
with,
dude, when you're playing with God on your side, he knew he was playing with God on his side. How can you be scared?
You're right. The biggest thing
is, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, dude. Yeah, God on his side.
And the biggest thing is they have all the balance. You know, they're incredibly fundamental. They were working Illinois with set plays, and it was beautiful. That's the kind of basketball that I come from. My dad, all my AAU coaches, we would always beat teams with set plays and not a whole lot of creation, just set, shoot, running people on back screens, flashes, back cuts. It was beautiful, and Illinois was getting worked. And what's so fun to see is a team that's just more fundamental have the gas tank behind them. It's like your cardio in jiu-jitsu, Drake. They have all of that, but the problem happens where they play a team like Illinois most days, and Illinois is running up and down, making plays, and they just outgas a team that's very fundamentally sound. Not Loyola. Loyola had the gas tank, and they were playing hard as hell the entire game. So all that to be said, March Madness, there's just this thing where, and I have a theory on it, you see the hashtag survive and advance. And oh boy, I hate that. I hate that so much. Survive and advance. It's so defeatist. Survive. Do you want to be surviving, or do you want to go play your game and go try and dominate?
From a guy who practices jiu-jitsu, sometimes it's just about survival.
I understand that. And in the later rounds against a team that's your quality, generally speaking on paper, that's fine. But I have a theory that there's always these upsets, and it's because big seeds, Ohio State, Texas, whatever you want to say, and it's not every game, but some of those teams play down to the level of the other team, or they let the other team have confidence and play up to their level, a higher level. And it's that survive mentality that keeps teams in the tournament game.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The don't make a mistake mentality rather than the go get it mentality.
They're playing not to lose instead of playing to win.
That definitely does happen in the tournament. These guys have the nerves and they don't want to make a mistake. And when you're playing to not make a mistake, you're just playing tight.
Especially against a team who has nothing to lose. Loyola against Illinois? Fuck it, boys. Let's ball. It doesn't matter. Because if Loyola loses, oh, great season. Sister Jean got to go to the tournament again. There's nothing to lose. But Illinois, there's too much riding on the line. They've been sucked all year. And now they have to go in and, yeah, they've been stroked. And now they're out. And that's how it works. Women also played today. Caitlin Clark is absolutely absurd at basketball. Don't know if either of you caught any of that game. She is insane. They are the 5 seed. They played Central Michigan. And first time I've watched an entire girls basketball game all year. I've caught a lot of like one half of the Hawks women's games, but just not all of them. Just because I don't watch basketball in general, not even the men's games. I watched all the games. Caitlin Clark is different. She really is. Like, she pulls from anywhere. She's more confident in the game of girls basketball, where their things don't move as fast and not everybody on the court is so athletic and just, you know, they don't have like skills to just blow by people.
You are dead for that.
Am I wrong? I mean, it's not a thing that's like
the sexy. Game is a little bit slower. Yes, it's for slower. Sure. The game is a little bit slower.
There, I mean, there's no women out there throwing down alley oops like the Baylor team I just watched pick apart Wisconsin. It's just a different game of basketball. But Caitlin Clark, she's on the upper end of that, where she's smooth and she just has a better feel. And she threw a behind the back pass today that was insane. She just has a better feel for the game than a lot of the people she's playing against does. And she'll pull from literally anywhere. She walks in the gym and she's in a range. She's like an AC 130, and she'll just bomb from anywhere.
What a great reference, dude. That was tremendous.
So Hawks advance both in the women's and in the men's. I believe, I forgot who Iowa will play in this next round for the women's, but 5-4, Iowa men have Oregon, and I don't have much else to say. I mean, it was a jam-packed episode full of Iowa sports.
Dude.
What?
What about the Deshaun Watson thing?
Oh, yeah. So for those of you that came for the Iowa stuff, thanks for being here. It was great to have you for this podcast. And we're going to finish it with some conspiracy news about Deshaun Watson and the NFL. I don't know the whole gist of it. All I know is that.
So like, here's my thing. Okay. So it comes down to the fact that the lawyer for these people is one of the Texans' owners' best friends and neighbors.
Mm.
Right? Wow. How would this lawyer not have brought any of this to attention, maybe even one of the 12,
mm-hmm.
right? How would he not have brought that to the owner's attention before they offered him 4 years, $170 million?
So for those that are behind,
it's kind of illegal, but there's that.
Right. So for those that are behind here, Deshaun Watson, the Texans want to keep Deshaun Watson, right? That's the whole thing behind this, Drake. So Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play for the Texans. No, nobody wants to play for the Texans, except real quick, two Hawks now with the Texans, Desmond King and Christian Kirksey. Great for them. Love seeing Hawks land and continue to play. I don't think Kirks and Dez are going to be winning a Super Bowl anytime soon, because Houston is a little bit of a dumpster fire, and this is all part of that. Houston wants to keep Deshaun Watson because it's like the last good player that they have. J.J. Watt left. They traded away their receiver, Hopkins, to the Cardinals. I mean, they really are shitting it down their leg. And they're trying their best to keep Deshaun. And so now the conspiracy is they had a bunch of women fabricate some stories and kind of come out all at the same time to cause some drama around Deshaun Watson's name. So maybe some other teams back off. If am I getting that right, Drake?
I don't know, dude. My conspiracy is that Deshaun Watson kind of completely said F you to Houston yeah. ownership and the entire organization.
Right.
Just
so.
Said like, you guys aren't going to get me to play for you. And I honestly think, I don't know, man. So we've seen over the years, a lot of famous athletes and famous people in general get falsely accused of sexual things.
Yep.
And then have their entire, I guess everything that they've built up just torn down with one accusation. And then it comes out late down the line that it's not true. And they had to go through all that bullshit for nothing. We've seen that way too many times. And this just feels like a cry wolf situation where they got a bunch of people to lie on his name for money, just because the Houston organization is so spiteful that they're trying to do the ex-girlfriend thing where like, okay, you want to break up with me, then you rape me.
If it actually happened, and so the allegations are like some massage therapist said that like Deshaun was touching her or something. It's like very like all of them are coming out at the same time. Interesting timing with them trying to sign him back to the team, all this stuff. And Deshaun Watson is like this guy who has been seen over and over as like a great dude, like feeding homeless people in Houston. And I remember a commercial like around last year's Super Bowl that was like him like buying a bunch of meals for like a school. Like you see him doing shit like that all the time. And I understand people are sometimes they can do bad things, even though they do great things. It just does not seem like Deshaun Watson is that kind of guy. And
like, here's the other thing. Deshaun Watson's girlfriend is an actual 10, like on a scale of 1 to 10, he found one of the 10s that are walking the earth, right? He doesn't need to jerk off in front of a massage therapist, pal. Like it just doesn't, it doesn't even make sense. Like I understand Tiger Woods was banging chicks and Denny's waitresses, which probably didn't have to happen because his wife was a model.
Hey, dude wanted some pancakes.
Like, I get it. Some people have a sickness that we don't know about, but I just don't see Deshaun Watson as the guy that needs beat with a 9-iron, right? I don't think he's that guy.
The only thing going through my mind right now is like Tiger walking into a Denny's and being like, yo, give me some waffles.
And I'll give you a great tip.
Meet me in the back. I'll bring the syrup.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Dude, I just threw a rib out. Oh, fuck, it hurts. Oh, my God. I'll butter your cakes.
Oh, God, this podcast has just gotten flagrant.
I can't, Kevin. I'm sorry
that you have to. Someone who's eaten because they haven't eaten all day. I've lost my appetite. Thank you.
Oh, I'm gonna puncture my own lung. All right, that's enough. Oh, I'm crying. I'm not gonna talk about Tiger Woods' bacon strips anymore. And that's it. A lot of Hawks. And
hey, Tiger Woods likes to hit the links and give his sausage link.
Okay. Wow. That's what you get with the wash up walk-ons.
A little bit of comedy, a little bit of sports, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I hope we brightened your day. And if not, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And this is a national championship podcast. So that's what it is. Episode 200 coming on Thursday. We're so thankful you guys continue to come back and listen to this bullshit because it's honestly a miracle. It's more of a miracle than Spencer. No, it's not, actually. I thought about it again.
Don't take the shine away from him.
That was what he did was actually magical, and Spencer's an alien, and we get him for another year. So be thankful. Hopefully when we talk to you again, the Hawks won tomorrow's game, and they're in the Sweet 16. So we'll be coming back with more, as always. This podcast may never die because at this point we've thrown everything into the public and it just continues to live. So,
and the people who continue to listen to this podcast, you aren't politically correct. Like even if you're trying to project it, you can live with your projection, but we know your secret life, that you are a little bit garbage, just like all of us.
Everybody is trash. It's just like Toy Story 4. I'm trash. Forky. That's it. 199. Thanks for listening. We'll talk at you again soon. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.